Where to start? All right, welcome everybody to our Litchfield City Planning and Zoning Meeting for February. Begin with a roll call here. We have Susan Jensen, Lisa White, Glenn Reinhold, myself, Andrew Thomas, Ron Larson, and Josh Peterson present. Commissioners, we're only missing Greg Bean. We'd like to begin our meeting by holding a public hearing. There's actually two of them. So that's items 2A and 2B on the agenda. And maybe Rick, before we open the public hearing, would you mind giving us an explanation of each one of those hearings?
Sure. The first one is basically housekeeping. What happened was the owner passed away and all four homes were on the same piece of property. So they're just splitting each home on a piece of property so they can do whatever they're going to do with it. But it's just very hard to sell one piece of property with four homes. I don't know the whole history of the family, unless you guys do, but it makes perfect sense to do it. And then my only concern was that they didn't leave that back corner lot on its own. It's got to be attached to somebody, so we don't have a deadline. And Michelle said they took care of that. I just haven't seen it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then the second one.
The second one we've been through, it went through the DRC, and we had some concerns. We had some discussion last month about it, and when I went to city council, some people remembered there was a water problem or a drainage problem. So Michelle did some research. They found out that yes, they kind of wanted a detention pond, so they have put one in a new set of plans that we have here tonight. And looks like it's going to be about 6 feet deep, and it's one whole lot. I think that will more than cover. The whole thing drains into that, and then if there's an overflow, then it goes into that pipe that goes down the road. So it should cover all of our questions on the subdivision.
So with that, we'll go ahead and open the public hearing for item 2A. The public hearing to receive comments concerning an application filed by Grant Forgan requesting a lot split of the property located at the southwest corner of the intersection of 400 West and 401. Is there any who would like to say anything about this particular item?
Ryan Savage would have been here.
He's got viral pneumonia.
Was he the one doing the surveying on it?
Yes. And that's
a little
kind of they all have 13,000 square feet. It's a spot.
Yes, so are there any comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close that public hearing, and we'll now open a public hearing for comments concerning the preliminary subdivision application filed by Destin Nelson for phase three of the Links subdivision. Is there anybody in the public that would like to make any comment about this item on the agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll close that public hearing as well. So moving on to item number 3A on our agenda, so there's action on public hearings. So go back to the item for the lot split. So the agenda item is discuss recommending the city council approve the request to split the property located 400 West, 4th North, as we see here for that plat. Prepared by Savage Survey, correct? Okay, discussion by the commission. Yeah, any discussion or comments on that?
Well, the property line, kind of weird, but I don't we got to be approved now, but when we raise.
Well, they got a garage right in the middle of that one, Robert, that's why it's split.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah. On that bottom lot.
On the bottom one?
Bottom and then the next from there.
The middle one, the middle lot.
They had a garage just right where that. Yeah.
Meet the setbacks and sizes, that's what they have to do.
I'm motioning to recommend the city council to approve the lot split. I second that motion.
Okay, a motion and second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried.
All right, moving on to item 3B, this is to review plans and consider recommending that the city council approve the subdivision application filed by Dustin Nelson for Phase 3 of the Link subdivision. And I believe we have Trevor and you here with Nelson Construction as well. Do you guys like to, can you sit at the table if you want, kind of give some explanation?
Yeah.
Where we're at?
Thanks, Trevor.
Yes. You don't know what old is. It only gets worse.
Wasn't very long ago, I was a younger man, did I work for the same office?
You were a kid, you still are.
So we sent the plans, the DRC comments, brought back to me through the extension basin. That's kind of draft, what you see there got changed late this afternoon. I made an error in my calculations with the water backing up and it was not in the stream. The engineer in our office, we decided to stamp the plans. Fix that, we adjusted it, sent it on the map. I think we can contain it to one lot.
It's the one on that sawtooth, I think they all looked at it.
Yeah, but it's good. So this is what we proposed to do. And that worked, and that found 4.50. The water won't ever get in through this. But because of the elevation of what we had to do here and coming down, the elevation of that pipe, all of these factors, there's going to be water in there. It's too deep to be collected, so it just passed through. The engineers, we talked, you know, they were alive, so they talked about the water being in the neighborhood of the south. And we don't want that. And the engineer should be able to water it, you know, evaporate it down, any water that's there. So I think that issue is going to be there.
When the pond will be fixed?
That's up to you guys. I believe the pond becomes part of the public utility at that point. Part of the project. I heard it up to that.
As long as it stays 2 feet or less, then it's not considered an aquatic feature, so I don't have to fence it for safety reasons. But normally they put some big rocks or riprap or something so that kids don't actually jump down and play.
I don't know. I think what Dustin is thinking, I think he just wanted a grassy area there.
And that's acceptable too.
And then the only question becomes, does the city need to make, like, part of the plumbing system?
It's usually part of the homeowners association.
So, yeah, you kind of have to come to the agreement that the moving budget.
Will there be a homeowners association with the subdivision?
I hadn't thought about it. We just kept talking about it. The roads become pretty so busy. It's been, from there, it becomes a city. pond being part of the program system. Where is that? That was one of the questions.
Probably needs to be Richfield City, because I don't think you're going to get anything out of the homeowners.
On the city lot, I think.
You know, Justin can't say every user, whatever, Delta Cool Bay, over time, it will be. But it's.
So like Walmart is not bringing anything public into their system. That's what I mean. This becomes city street, you know, by virtue of dedication.
Yeah.
But if you're holding 2 feet, that's yours. Doesn't come hard until it goes over 2 feet, right?
No. So there's pipe that comes from the box into the pond, and the pipe goes on the city street, goes out of the pond.
But not just 2 feet full.
Right, that's it.
I would say we're the emergency and that's your water holding pond.
Well, the overall height of the pond is 4.5 feet, right? So all the water is now in the pond.
Well, only at, if it gets over 2 feet, it'll release that the allowed to take on the, but up to 2 feet, it's we try. We shouldn't do this amount unless we take an add in another lot and not take up. He hasn't seen it in the twice. I would say we go with the one lot, maybe 4.5 feet, and there'll be some discussion about who's responsible in that part of the project.
See the water in there, that's, I'm going to have very much like that.
No. No, I keep looking at that hole. That's not going to happen. Probably in my lifetime.
Well, now you jinxed us.
Well, I may not make it to tomorrow.
You could get some, July monsoonal rain, but
yeah.
It'll probably go backwards pretty fast.
I went out there today with training strategy from Gary Collar, and looking at where the water comes off of this street here, this new street here, there's just no where the transit from Cooper there. That one's been there a while. And both sides of that are right here. Not very far, but just in Grimmings. But I don't know. I mean, I'm a trick, I don't think you can see it. And you see the stuff at Walmart and the little workers, you can see it. All of this is going on, and those things fill up.
Yeah.
I don't know how often they can tell me this.
You'll be surprised on some of the rains we used to get in the summer. I mean, you know where I live? Crossing the football field. I used to live on the corner there, and when I was building that home, it was on the 4th of July, and I had my forms for my basement. We had one of those, and all the water from the avenue was coming right into that basement. And I had 4 feet of water in that basement. Yeah, I mean, so we can get some pretty good storms. Of course, it eventually left, and I had to dig it all out. We start over, but
that pond will hold the water calculated to come from 100 feet. So, you know, the concern was that one home had to get realization. But I don't see.
Yeah, I really don't see any problem there.
I think there's a certain level that's going to get into the different.
Now the road there close to number 16 coming down on the left there, that does that drain into that field there?
This comes around this way, this goes around this way, this field is in there.
Okay.
I guess I will say
as you drive around in neighborhoods, oh, up along the lot, that front or whatever, it's quite common to see a lot set aside of, you know, space in there. I typically see grass, which is like a grass, it kind of become a grass playfield for the kids and stuff, but, I haven't had a lot of them around here, but they're not uncommon.
Yeah.
I think they addressed pretty much everything else we asked for.
Okay. Any other discussion or questions on the commission? Yes. I'm going to take a motion if anybody's up to the commission.
I'll make a motion that we recommend to the city council that we approve the subdivision application filed by Dustin Nielsen for phase 3 of the Link subdivision.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. Thank you, Trevor.
Thank you, Jay.
Okay, on the item 3B of the agenda, this is the review plans and consider recommending that the city council approve.
We did that.
Okay, moving on. Item 4. So this is consider recommending that the city council approve Danielle Peterson's request to operate a kennel, dog training and boarding at 1830 South Industrial Park Road, and that's located in a CG zone. This is a C2 use. Is there anybody here?
I thought we approved that, didn't we?
She moved, yeah.
She just came back today.
So she came and talked about it, now officially on the agenda. So I'll go ahead and recommend to the city council to approve Danielle Peterson's request to operate a kennel as presented.
Okay, motion and a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
That's a good place for that.
Okay, on to item number 5. So this is our zoning discussion for just related to considering a higher density zone for the city. Maybe you noticed some emails going around about that. Just update you that myself and Lisa and Susan, Rick and Michelle met a little while ago to discuss some recommendations for that. And we're going to start with the discussion. Do you guys mind giving a summary of kind of what we wanted to recommend you guys? I'll find the email here that I can pull up and we can discuss.
We talked about recommending a new zone with a requirement of 8,000 square foot for the first unit and 1,500 square feet for each additional unit, with parking requirements of 1.5 parking spaces for a studio and a one bedroom, 2.5 parking spaces for a 3 and a 4 bedroom.
Two and three
bedroom, excuse me. 2.5 parking places for a 2 bedroom and a 3 bedroom.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, we weren't going to.
We didn't go beyond that.
Okay. And then recommend 25% open space as a requirement. And anything that wasn't specifically set aside or called out would be the same requirements as an RM 11. So setbacks and building heights and everything else would be the same requirements as RM 11 zone. But it evens out to about 24 units per acre for what we're recommending.
There was some stuff you asked me to do. The traffic study in our place is required for 100 cars for peak use, whether it's morning or afternoon or Sunday church, whatever, which they would have. So they would need traffic study. I did some reading in some of the other places. Some of them start at 80, some of them start at 60 for traffic study. Then the other one was
the clubhouse.
Yes, oh, yeah. Requirements for amenities
is what most of, I read cedars, Nephi's, and Hebrews. And most of the ones that they said anything about was suggest this or recommend that. There was never a you will do.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I do too.
So that's pretty much all I could find out about that. And it was pretty much the same thing. By the time you had your open spaces and your parking and your setbacks, they felt that they could make it in their height limitation, which would be a three-story if they wanted to go that high. That's pretty much what we're trying to accomplish, and that's pretty much what they had in place as well.
Yep.
Have you guys seen the copy of the example development? Well, I guess they sent us a plan of
the
whole area.
Make sure it's the right one.
Is that one you can bring up and show?
Yeah, sure. And this is theoretically what they would like it to kind of look like. These are other ones that they have built.
So while you're looking at those, a couple other things. I think, did you mention the height restriction?
The height restriction would be the same as others. It's 35 feet maximum.
Yeah. Which is the halfway up the roof. We got two stories in
a row. If it's a peak.
For three stories in a row.
The average of the peak.
I think, we were thinking it made sense to have this be a C2 approval. So it go to the city council for these developments. What else? I mean, obviously right now in the city there aren't any zones, and we don't necessarily have any areas in mind for this zone. Instead, I guess we're thinking it's more along the line that they would come and say, we want to do this development there, and change the zone to this, and so we'd be able to kind of pick and choose if we thought it was appropriate.
I actually got a call on one today or yesterday that wanted to do, I think it was 17 units per acre, which would fall under this new zoning. Mm-hmm. So I think it would really help. Those were not going to be condos, they were going to be apartments. So it should be nice to have the availability to at least do it.
It's not an option.
It makes it so it's cost effective for them to come here and do it. When you build condos, it's quite expensive because you're building a property line, which is a 2-hour wall all the way around top sides and bottom. Very expensive.
It's going to cost the
sound requirements.
That's a proposal.
Yeah.
Boy, we need to get moving. I mean,
yeah. We've seen it.
Yeah.
You like it?
So, anyway, that was what we as a committee wanted to bring to the full commission as our recommendations, and just discuss that and see what the rest of you thought about it. I posed another couple questions in the email there. Rick addressed one of them as far as playgrounds and amenities. Also just the question of, do we feel like we have a sound basis for why of making this adjustment to our zoning ordinance?
I think we do. I mean, I think it definitely needs to happen. Just a demand for it.
It's there.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that.
I mean, you can see it from everything that's happened this last 2 or 3 months.
There we go. You really don't have anything in the affordable range.
Yeah.
Either you're in an apartment or you're $300,000 for a house, or at least $250,000 for some of those. And most jobs don't support
that. So we have to wait for another week for the thing to come out, the public hearing announcement to come out, the Reaper, and then we can.
I already put it in the paper. Just give a request of that. We have a special meeting, so that will be on Thursday. They don't normally pass on their motions.
And then on the 18th, is that right? And then we could move on it.
Now, remember.
I recommend on it.
That's just changing the zoning. They've still got to come back and do.
For a city council.
DRC and planning commission approval and.
Right.
Of course, yeah. Well, and then I have a question on who writes the new portions of our code to capture this new zone? Is that something that the city council has our attorney do? Is that something? Okay. And would you guys have that done for the meeting on the 18th? Or is that something that happens after?
City council have to act on it, don't they?
So if we recommend this tonight, the city council review that recommendation next week?
Well, we'd like to kind of indicate that you want to tell them what you're doing before the public hearing. So I don't know. It's up to you if you want to. You need to plan to go.
Do you want me to say anything when I go meet with them next week? Is there anything you'd like me to tell them or explain to them or just give them the basics of what we've talked about and we'll have an actual, you know, adjustment to the zoning code ready for you in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I think that makes sense, just so that they know that it's coming even more than they already do.
So I have a question for you, but we need to rezone the property for Smith. We haven't seen our plans yet, but you know, we're building apartments past the year. Whether they're funding or whatever, I don't know. And I feel like it's kind of hard to for me to know this public hearing from March 3rd or whatever it is, when we don't even have the zone about yet. When I start, because I'll start publishing and hearing saying they're requesting a zone change to RM24, but we don't have RM24 yet. That we probably will have by March. So I was thinking we need an extra meeting in March. We're meeting on the 18th, June 30th. Very much to come in and jump this. Can't count this. I'll put that on the agenda. I'm going to change that to the mayor, so.
Okay.
That's it. Thursday at 6 o'clock for that extra meeting.
But I don't have anything coming in. I've got to have that meeting. No, you want it from tonight.
We need the plans. Well, I feel like we've had enough discussions with the city council at this point. It's not like they aren't aware that this is going on, that this is being discussed. They seemed amenable to it in discussions in the past. I just wanted specifics recommended. So I think it's fairly safe to assume that it's going to pass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the worst case? If it doesn't pass, then you can't change the zone anyway.
Right.
There's always the possibility they want to adjust some of our recommendations.
It is, they're possible.
But. Yeah, but I think we have pretty good justification and a pretty good benchmark for what we've decided. I think based on other communities, based on thinking about it, plans that have been presented.
Yep.
So, ma'am, I don't know if your guys want to go for their own change in March, or. Thank you.
I like that.
Do we worry at all about kind of the floodgates being open to more of this than we want?
Well, I think that's why we have it as a C2 use.
Well, each property is going to be.
There's a need for it, and that developer, there's a lot of need. We're really going to be able to develop on what is actually going to rent out.
So,
I think if we get one or two of these to pop up, I think that's, I think, you know, it's going to take a couple years to fill them up.
Well, and I would also rather see developments like this than more sprawl out past Eagle View.
Yeah, I like the concept.
I like the siding of it.
Well, as long as these types of plans are put off, and then it's based by the state.
City council can control there.
And I do like the DS Avenue, the traffic, because I think that we need to be in a place where the traffic is kind of what, and what these guys have put to the spot with the traffic. Right on a busy, you know, right on a 4-lane highway, the other traffic, and it's not flooded,
So then I guess that is a question. Do we want to stick with the 100 car traffic study threshold or lower that to 80? I don't know that I would go all the way down to 60, but.
I think we ought to lower it because if it was maybe on like a two-lane road, you know, you might want.
80 cars is a lot on a lot of streets.
Right.
Well, this is going onto the two-lane road.
Yeah, it's off of.
It's not going on the state highway.
Yeah.
But not onto the 4-lane, not onto the freeway access road.
Josh, do you have any insight on what the focus on the might be?
Yes. Anytime you meet with developers and stuff, you tell us that they're going to camp down at 30, you tell them to do a traffic impact study, you can go to the 4-lane. Typical apartment or house, we look at trips per day per minute. So like a house will have like 10 trips per day for each of these apartments. I don't know how many units are per building.
It's 28, I think.
So you're talking 10 trips per minute. That's 240 in a building. And then you can divide that out for peak hour and traffic. So when I meet with developers and they tell me they're going to do a 60-lot campground, ask them, do you want to pay for the $10,000 trip impact study? Or do you want to put 100-foot terminal? Because most times, they're on a 60-mile-per-hour road and it's going to require.
I was going to say, what would you do with Dayton out there in 1300 South?
If you got flex in the Richfield City street, and you got something.
I guess what, so my question is, what does the results of the traffic study instigate or put into motion after the study on as far as city streets?
From everything I could read, it was just basically whether it determines.
So the engineer looked at the trips per hour. Dependent upon AABP and speed of growth, there's a table like an astrophysical index that specifies if you have this kind of turning movement per hour, then you need to provide a turn. In the recommendation of traffic impact study, it says when you build X number of units, you need to build it there.
So, what should our threshold be?
Well, like he says, I mean, we know they're going to have to do the turn lane.
Well,
why
on this particular project, yes. But if we're talking about the zone in general,
we have our master transportation plan.
That's where I found it. That's where the 100 is. But it's 100 for the peak hour. But if you've got 100 units.
So is that 100 turning movements? Is that 100 units per development?
It just says 100 units per peak hour. Repeat day, so morning traffic or afternoon traffic.
five units, the ballot unit. I would think probably 50 or 60 would be a starting point. Because you want to balance the, how you require a million dollar and building improvement versus then doing that about, and about 50, 60 might. You're gonna come up pretty quick, you're thinking about more, and depending on the budget or the.
But I like his thought that we know they're gonna have too much traffic going on there. Just have them put that money towards the turn lane.
Or potentially, I mean, does it extend out to like the nearest intersection here? Even like if we need four-way stops added somewhere or possibly?
It's kind of vague, sorry. But it just basically said at a certain point, it was where, who has to do it, and it's gotta be a specific kind of an engineer that has to be approved by us. It just sounded like a lot of money where we already know they need to turn lanes.
You don't look specifically at the access to each and what all traffic can do on access. So if there's multiple developments there, that access has to factor in all of them. And so if they have access to this, the Kobe Road, I would say the access can be measured.
This is our check. So I have a.
What?
I was
questioning access from the.
Kobe Road, that's what I thought.
Not the freeway access, not the four lane. From Kobe.
Kobe. That's what I thought.
1300 south, the freeway access road.
So what they have to, that when you don't have the lanes, that they allow on to like additions that some uses, you know, go either way.
You know, the traffic just like that, they're going out on the Kobe Road.
Yeah, yes.
Not on this.
No, because they, you don't, wouldn't allow an access.
Well, they have to finish that road.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not on.
Glass Street Yard is next, that's on one point, they're already there, part of the city transportation plan, it will be used. I went and looked at it today and drove by it, and that access to the dirt road, right after that slip, and people passing, speed cut, picking up speed. I wouldn't want to stop and cut the pavement, right? So that particular one, you think of the example, you got to split it down, take note.
If they're going up UDOT, I'm sure they will. But I'm saying if they're only access to Kobe and, four south, they just have to put a turn lane in.
UDOT's not gonna get involved unless they're off the grid that way. Where they are, that's not their road, it's a good street. Well, that falls on us to, from city staff or whatever, to maintain the city streets and the traffic flow in kind of orderly fashion. And as you get bigger developments like this coming in, especially if they're near each other, it's going to change traffic patterns a lot. Have to be addressed in one way or another. Not all of it may be related to the developer, but there's just something we need to be aware of and trying to.
Well, and I think it needs to be into our code if you want something different than is already in the general transportation master plan. Because that's the only way that we can enforce it.
So maybe the message to the council is, you know, a lot of words. We want to err on the side of the lower threshold for the traffic. For initiating the traffic study.
So do you want to just put it on this zoning that's lower?
I think so. So this particular zone that we would require a traffic study if there are more than 50 units, is that being said, Josh? If the planned development is more than 50 units, a traffic study is required. Because it might not always be a turn lane, like Kendrick said, it might be four-way stop signs, it might be different access routes, it might be any number of solutions, but it is going to change the traffic pattern once you get more than 50 units.
So we're talking this here.
Right here.
50 units is a lot. Especially if you're considering if they're two-bedroom units and each person has a car, then that's 100 vehicles right there.
Yeah. If you used to go with this, another development to the east of there, then you've got 50 units maybe, you know.
How many units do you know you look at that loop on the loop? That looks like 3 units, 50 units, and that's one right here.
Yeah, the difference is that it's spread out a lot more.
Right, yeah.
So are we going to make a turn lane on both of you lanes?
I think that depends on the traffic, then.
Well, it's already too high, you know we're going to need.
On a 60-mile-an-hour road, it's always a turn lane mitigated. On a 25-mile-an-hour road, there might be other mitigations possible.
So do we just require the traffic study then?
Yeah.
You want them to decide?
They'll provide the traffic impact study and the city can deal with the city.
So, do you want to go with?
I think that's really good for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because that particular intersection for that road from there, I mean, you'd want to shoot the traffic. You know, it's kind of the highway on the highway.
Yeah, that's a 45 mile an hour.
Right.
On the highway, but
yeah,
the roads that
the
they're
drivers are 25.
More so if people want to escape back to be on the by some of the time that you expect.
But I think every case is going to be different, which is the purpose of having a traffic study with the recommendations on a set specific level.
So what are you saying? You're not going to strictly follow our transportation plan. You want an additional item in our code
for this particular zone. But well, but then if it's an RM11, if there's ever more than 50 units, I mean, an RM11 with more than 50 units would be a pretty
spread
out development.
Yeah.
However,
do we want to even recommend that our transportation plan gets amended down to 50 units? Don't we?
Well,
are we concerned about traffic and
that? Or do we wait till we have the situation?
It's not, the way I took it, it wasn't 50 units, it was 50, there were 100 trips or more during traffic peak.
So what is that transport?
Well, if you got two couples going to work every day, and then one of them gets to school.
And this is during peak time. So like you said,
whatever peak time might be. It could be the morning or afternoon.
But it's surely 8 o'clock.
It's sure, yeah, 7:45 to 8:05.
Yeah.
It's definitely peak time in Richfield.
Now, for the way they calculate trips for their per unit, it's total trips and then kind of about. And then that gets divided out through the day, and they have a calculation where they get the peak traffic rate, which is 6 to 8, 11 to 1, and 5 to 7.
And is that going to be the future with more people working at home?
But that's the state's recommendation, right?
That's kind of national recommendation, how they calculate
it. Yeah, that just, it's not broke out exactly that way. I mean, I can check it some more.
Yeah, I just wondered if it maybe ought to be clarified in there so it's not ambiguous when the developer comes and wondering if they need a traffic study.
I think
we
just hand
them out
on traffic engineers or whoever does that. So, you know,
if they're
the experts.
Yeah, did any of the other cities you studied have anything about the traffic for the siding?
They did, especially when you hook up like the other towns I've worked in have state roads in them, so we just generally get approval, get us a letter where they got to, you know what I mean? Get approval from the state. And then the cities have anything from, you know, 30 units to 100 trips in a half a day. I mean, everybody looks at it different.
So as an example, the Smith development contacted me for you to access the highway line two. And then if they want to build that apartment in the complex area they're going to build, and they want to access highway line two, they will be building a full apartment. If they don't, then they go out on the city street, which will go to the intersection, either one of these. And that intersection already has to turn on the bell.
I do like the peak time, because there's a set time, but like we are heavy in mining, they're not normal hours. They're usually like, what, 4 in the morning, 4 in the afternoon. They're just not the same. That's why I like the peak hour time. Because I know when the mines went going out there to get on the bus barn, the mines were, you can go anywhere.
But that was what our budget said for 15 hours. That only said that. So whoever does their time to get back study is an engineer and knows all of those, you know.
Right.
That's what it's going to be.
Yeah, just what seems ambiguous to me or may require some effort, unanticipated or not, is the traffic study required?
Yeah, absolutely. What is the threshold for the traffic engineer to say, oh, you have more than 100 in your peak hour?
And it is
What is?
Like how many peak hours require, or how many units require a higher level study or
Yeah. You have too many units and you have to study the next. From
units being traffic trips.
From collector units to major street, collector streets to major streets. So depending on how big it is, how far your traffic study has to go.
So I guess this is probably an item that can be discussed or figured out later, but the overall recommendation sounds like we've got
I'll do a little more digging and see if I can get a little more clarification.
And then we just included the traffic studies as required by the General Master Transportation Plan? Or do we not even need to include that in?
I think we should include something. Because once you get to that RM24, you're going to have,
yeah.
Like you said, you got two car people and they're everybody working on it. What about church on Sundays?
Yeah. Well, I'll be in the same
way. You know, you don't know what the peak hour is going to be. But you know what I'm saying, like, we don't know what the peak hour is going to be.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
well, we're about up to 7 o'clock here. So any other final comments or discussions on that item?
If you think of something or you have some questions, let me know.
Okay.
Well, my team, I mean, that's serious. Just for that's not a cut and stone thing, that carved in stone that we're inspiring to be like the train.
No.
I mean, let me know. No. I don't want
that to
be.
That is not.
No, we'll do the cuts.
Which is logical that it is a city street, you know.
The Master Transportation Plan is a great reference. However, when we're getting to RM24, we know we're getting a lot of units. And I really almost feel like we should just have something clear. If you're over 50 units, you have to do a transportation.
Well, okay. I might have looked at this closely, but
and what if the traffic study finds it because it's a track?
It would be good for
they did have to have a traffic.
Yeah. They're already planning on doing it, so we're covered on this particular one until we get it figured out. But they're planning on doing it better. So.
Yeah.
I agree with you. So if someone's wanting to come in and get these on their RF24, I think they're not going to be hired to make sure that they're possible. So yes, these people want to know.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
Especially if the Master Transportation Plan is a little muddy.
I don't want to Engineers do that.
It's a special type of person. It's an engineer.
Well, maybe that it's as simple as saying you want the transportation master plan evaluated and updated. It's necessary.
Like no matter what the size of development you're doing it, if it's in that anything with higher density, you're required to do a traffic study.
Yeah, everybody.
Says 100 or more trips during the morning, afternoon, or Saturday peak hour. So like you're saying, 50 presence is probably going to have 100 trips for, you know, 2 cars per hour.
Easy.
So that's...
Yeah.
To simplify it, though, my thoughts are, well, the developer will go fine. Just say a certain number.
High density.
Whether that's 20 units or whatever. So they don't go in. It's required to do a certain
count.
Yeah. I just think, you know, there are 11.
That's true. Because it's like, what? Yeah. Yes, it's an investment for the developer. But I think it covers a lot of bases and helps them educate their decisions on the development too. So it's not like they just have to give us $10,000 for absolutely nothing. It's to benefit their development and also for us to cover our bases so that we don't create major traffic snarls through this zone. Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Okay.
It
so
is covered though. I mean, I'm not trying to argue about having
it, but it is. Well, but I think it's good to have backup.
Yeah.
All right. Good discussion. Let's move on to the last items here. Minutes approval. Consider approving minutes for January 6th, 2021. Any comments or discussion on the minutes?
Almost to accept the minute. I'll second it.
All right, motion second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. All right, other business. Is there anything?
Nope.
No. So the location of Dave and Jimmy's IP. Where's that at?
We're across the street.
To the east?
So it's west of the city. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did you say how many stalls up are we developed for how?
I see a plan, but I can show it to you.
All right. Well, I think he was trying to access it. What's that road? The road is still going to be able to access. Anyways, well, is there any other business besides that?
I'm going to go.
If not, we will go ahead and adjourn.
Thanks for being efficient. Oh, stuff. Okay. Okay. We bought it. Corn from them this year. We usually buy corn from Sterling to freeze.
Right.
And we couldn't this year, so we bought some from them. And I talked to Sterling the week after we got it and commented that we sure missed his corn and told him where we got it from. He goes, oh, and he probably paid too much and it was old and gross. And I was like, actually, yes, you're right. And apparently, it came from Crooked Rose, too.